going to mix things up just a little bit here this morning. We will have a scripture reading, but it won't be for a while. I'm going to just go right into my message here this morning. Then we'll go into the scripture reading here in a little bit. Today we're going to begin a brand new sermon series that I have titled The Old Testament. For the lack of a better term, I just call it The Old Testament. And today's message is titled The Spoken Creation. It was about 2 months ago. Most of you know that I play music on Thursday nights at a place called Barren Ridge Vineyards. And got to meet a lot of really nice people, a lot of interesting people. I kind of got my sights set on a few people who need Jesus. So so there's a mission field there. But I met one gentleman, actually husband and wife, real good Christians, and they attend a church over in Waynesboro. And while we were tearing down our equipment that evening, I was talking to him and I said, "Boy, wasn't that music good that was played by?" And there was a young man who was playing that night. His name was Caleb. And I said, "Wasn't his music good tonight?" And my friend said, "Yeah, his music was real good." And I said, "Isn't that a really good biblical name, Caleb?" And he said, "Caleb?" He said, "I don't remember that name being in the Bible." He was not familiar with that story from the Bible. So I proceeded to tell him about Caleb being one of the spies from Numbers chapter 13 and told him the whole story. And he said, "I never knew that story. I had never heard that." I certainly don't doubt this man's Christianity, because not all Christians know all the stories from the Bible, and I understand that. But it made me think that there might be church people who attend church, who might not be familiar with a lot of the Old Testament people and events and these wonderful stories from the Old Testament. So it was that conversation that prompted me to do a series on stories from the Old Testament. So today will be the first one. Since I arrived here on October the 21st of the year 2007, I look back and only 15% of any of the sermons that I've ever preached have been on the Old Testament. And like most preachers, we like to preach on the New Testament. It seems to be more relevant for us. But for today, and for who knows how much longer, I'm going to be reading historical narrative out of the Old Testament and expounding on their application for us today, so we can all learn maybe about some of these stories that we might not be familiar with, some of these people and places and events that occurred back in those times. It's unfortunate that there are many people who will dismiss the Old Testament on the basis that it's not relevant for us today. And that is certainly not true. We're never going to understand God and His purpose and His power if it wasn't for the Old Testament. I assure you that since Adam and Eve, mankind has not changed one bit. And I assure you that since the creation of all things, God has not changed all bit. Trust me, the God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament. Psalm 102, verse 27 says this, "But you remain the same, and your years will never end." So throughout the series that we're going to start here today, I will not be going in any kind of chronological order for my messages each week. I'm going to skip around, and whatever the Holy Spirit lays on me to speak about, that's what I'm going to speak about for that given Sunday. But for our first message today, and for this series, I feel like it is important to begin at the beginning. What a better place to start in the Old Testament than in the book of Genesis, chapter 1. So you do not need to stand. I am going to read Genesis chapter 1, the entire chapter. If you want to just listen, that would be fine. If you want to follow along, again, I read an NIV translation. This is the creation story. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. And God called the expanse sky. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered in one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. And let them be lights, and let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with which the water teems, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the earth of the sea, of the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food, and to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. I love that chapter. But I will also say this. I also love science. I do. I enjoy watching programs on TV that show how scientific forensic evidence leads the detectives to capture and convict the offenders. We have this thing nowadays called DNA, and you can't argue with DNA because everybody's DNA is different. DNA collected at a crime scene will either place one or absolve one from ever being at that crime scene. And I love the science that's involved with that. I also love space exploration and all the scientific technology that has allowed mankind to land 12 men on the moon and safely return them back to Earth. Sometimes I have to wonder, who figures all this stuff out? The success of these missions is all based on proven scientific methods. For as valuable as science has become in our lives, there are some things that science will never, ever, ever be able to answer, such as the creation of our universe. Many in the scientific community will claim that they can prove the origin of all things, but they are mere theories which cannot and will not ever be proven. According to science, the age of our world continues to change according to the next newest theory of life's origins. Science presently places the age of our universe at 13.8 billion years old and our Earth itself at 4.5 billion years. But still, I still don't discount science entirely, but I do when it comes to creation. I prefer the biblical account that I just read here in Genesis chapter 1. And every Christian should believe the biblical account that's written in Genesis chapter 1. Why is that? Because every Christian must have a biblical worldview. If we dismiss the biblical creation account and replace it with scientific theory, what else in God's word do we dismiss? And what do we replace that with? If we dismiss the biblical creation account, the Bible now has no real authority in our lives because we can now pick and choose what we like and what we don't like from the Word of God. I'm sure that we are all aware that there is a battle going on in this world to determine how this world and everything in it came to be. The terms Big Bang and evolution, those terms, they permeate our television programming and they permeate our education systems at all levels. To believe the creation account that I just read to you from a biblical perspective means that you are a minority and you are usually a laughingstock to our present 21st century culture. I could share with you many of the articles that I found on the internet as to how this universe was created from a non-biblical scientific viewpoint. And I consider it amazing how they all contain similar terms such as Big Bang. But they also all contain terms, these scientific communities, such as this: energy, gravity, electromagnetism, matter, dust, and the laws of physics. To pre-existing to create the beginning of our universe. So if you're thinking like me, you must ask the obvious question. If such things as energy, gravity, electromagnetism, matter, dusts, and the laws of physics all pre-existed to create the beginning of our universe in a big bang, who created the gravity, the energy, the electromagnetism, the dust, and the matter, and who made the laws of physics. This isn't difficult. When there is a creation, there must be a what? A creator. Where there is intelligent design, there must be an intelligent designer. And Genesis chapter 1 tells us who that is. The Hebrew term that is used is the word Elohim. We call him God. And there is no other. So what does the Bible teach us about creation? And what are we to learn from that? Because for me, and I hope for you too, the biblical account is really the only account that I need. We have some fill-in-the-blanks here this morning, and I believe I have a definition of a Latin term in your bulletin. This morning I want to introduce you, actually reintroduce you to this, because I did talk about it once before. It's a Latin term, and the Latin term is this, ex nihilo, ex nihilo. Ex nihilo is Latin that means from nothing, from nothing. Theologians say that in Genesis chapter 1, God created the heavens and the earth from nothing, from nothing. Prior to that moment, there was nothing. God didn't make the universe from pre-existing building blocks of something. He started with nothing, and he made everything. That was an amen I just heard. And there you go again. The Bible never expressly states that God made everything from nothing, but it is very much implied. In Hebrews 11, chapter 3, we read this, and I believe this is the scripture I have on the front of your bulletin. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. This means that the universe came into existence strictly by a divine command. So our fill in the blank, the one and only one we got this morning, says this: God simply spoke creation into existence. On the first day, God created the heavens and the earth, and he spoke light into existence. On the second day, God spoke and created an expanse between the waters above and the waters below. On the third day, God spoke and separated the waters from dry land. And on this dry land, he spoke vegetation, plants, and trees into existence. On the fourth day, God spoke the sun, the moon, and the stars into existence. And on the fifth day, God spoke the fish of the seas and the birds of the air into existence. And on the sixth day, God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds, all just by speaking them into existence. Also on the sixth day, God created man, mankind. He created man in his own image, it tells us in verse 26. But did you notice he did not speak mankind into existence? In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible tells us that God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. When it comes to how this universe and everything in it was created, some might call what I just said faith. We can call it faith, and that would be a correct statement. I prefer to call it proof. God spoke, God formed, and things came into existence. I like that. It's simple. It's easy to understand. That makes, for me, that makes God really big, and it makes me really small. I like serving a really big God. And I'm okay with that, and I hope you are too. One more point about God's magnificent creation. I've been saying this for the last almost 11 years now. I am probably a fundamental Christian who preaches Reformed theology. I find it very easy to believe that the creation account happened exactly the way the Bible says it happened. Everything was created in 6 days. 6 literal days. Evening, morning, evening, morning. 6 days. What's so difficult about believing 6 days? There are, however, Christians, and I don't doubt their Christianity, who want to somehow merge the creation account in Genesis chapter 1 with this theory of evolution that we hear so much about. And they've even come up with a term for it. It's called theistic evolution. It's the belief that evolution, according to Charles Darwin, did indeed happen the way Darwin said it happened, but God controlled that whole process. When one speaks in favor of evolution, they will always say this. Evolution, if you remember from your science books, they'll say, the evolution is the, who can guess this, is the survival of the what?
Fittest.
The fittest. Excellent. Very good. The survival of the fittest. That means that evolution must have been based on millions and millions and millions of years of death, survival, death, survival, death, survival. And this process keeps on evolving. And this process, according to science, is still evolving today. But Romans chapter 5, verse 12, disagrees with that. Because Romans 5, 12 says this. Therefore, just as sin entered into the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. Let me summarize what that little verse says right there. There cannot be death, either spiritual or physical, until there is sin. And there wasn't sin until there was a fall in the garden by two people, Adam and Eve. If we accept evolution, we must dismiss Adam and Eve. If we accept evolution, then Romans chapter 5, verse 12 is wrong. If Romans chapter 5, verse 12 is wrong, what else is wrong? You see, it becomes a snowball that keeps on getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and it has no end. And I don't want to see us as Christians going in that direction. So allow me to repeat something I said a little bit earlier. If we don't buy into the creation story in Genesis chapter 1, what else in the Bible are we not going to buy into? You know, there's a story about a talking donkey. There's a story about a man who spent 3 nights in the belly of a great fish. There's a story about a group of 600,000 plus people from this tribe called Israel that the Red Sea parted and they crossed that Red Sea on dry ground. What else are we not going to buy into? Maybe Adam and Eve were just storybook characters. Maybe. Maybe Noah's Ark is just a good bedtime story. And are we really sure that David slayed Goliath Or is it just a great analogy of how we need to face the giants of our life these days? And then what about Jesus? Perhaps he never really existed either. Or did he exist and he was just a good teacher? Genesis chapter 1 is a beautiful account of intelligent design by a very magnificent creator. And he made it all ex nihilo, from nothing. We serve a God who can make everything out of nothing. I do not have to stuff science and its Big Bang Theory or Jurassic Park dinosaurs somewhere into the Genesis creation account to please both Christians and the secular world. And I'm not embarrassed to say that. Genesis 1 is good enough for me. And I hope it's good enough for you too. Ex nihilo, making something out of nothing. How does Jesus take 5 loaves of bread and 2 pieces of fish and feed 5,000? Simple. You make something out of nothing. Scripture narrative from the Old Testament. We have to begin this series somewhere. So let's begin at the beginning and learn more about the God that we're going to be reading about. The one who remains the same, regardless if it's the Old Testament or the New Testament. And I love one of the last verses out of Genesis chapter 1. And God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Let's pray.